Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Today's message from Pastor Greg Lucier at Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral is titled, The Law and the Gospel. What medicine do you need?
God's grace, strength, His joy, His salvation be with you today through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. I'd like to start out with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 today, where Paul says to Timothy this, Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Or as some translations say, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'd like to ask you, do you rightly handle the word of God? Do you rightly divide the word of truth? Do you know how to clearly interpret the scriptures and then also to rightly apply them to yourselves and to others? Well, I'd like to talk about dividing rightly the word of God today, and especially this distinction between the law and the gospel. How to understand the scriptures. And if we do this and we understand this distinction, it makes things so clear and super more healing and helpful to us when we read God's holy word. So let's talk today about the law and the gospel and what God would teach us about that. Now, first of all, let me just start out with a little story. In 2003, when we lived in St. Louis, Naomi is 3 years old, my daughter. And one night she had sniffles and a cold, so we gave her a teaspoon of the children's medicine and sent her off to bed. And she falls asleep, and we fall asleep, and all's well. Well, middle of the night, I hear something I thought in the bathroom, which was between our two rooms. So I got out of bed, and I first checked on Naomi, and she was fast asleep. Wonderful. And then I went to check in the bathroom, flipped the light on, and uh-oh, what'd I see? There was the medicine bottle. Tipped over, cap off, all over the place, dripping, oozing down the drain, and it took me 2 seconds to figure out what had happened. I freaked out. Oh no! My daughter's tried to medicate herself, and she drank the whole bottle. So I quickly get Beth up. She freaks out. 30 seconds, we're in the car on the way to the hospital, and then, you know, Naomi's in the back, like woozy, like trying to stay awake. We're like, stay awake, stay awake. And we get to the hospital, and they check her out, and she's okay. She did have to drink this charcoal drink, though, that helped to, if there was any overdose or of this medication in her stomach, it would basically neutralize it. But she was okay. But the point is she misused the medicine just because she's 3 years old at the time. She saw her mommy and daddy use it. She thought she could use it and drink the whole bottle. But the same thing goes on with the scriptures as well, doesn't it? Is there a phone? The same thing goes on with the scriptures, that this is a medicine. Jesus Christ is the good physician, right? He's the great physician. He has in here in his bag of medicines, medicine for every ailment of body, heart, mind, and soul to heal us. To heal our loneliness, to heal our pride, to heal our hardened hearts and sin, their stubbornness, to heal our fears and anxieties, and to give us life and joy and eternal life. All these things are in his bag of medicine. It is scriptures. But just like with little Naomi, and we can all do the same thing, we can misuse this, right? You got to have the right medicine for the right ailment in the right amount at the right time. Otherwise, we can do great harm to ourselves or to others. For example, to consider the man who once was feeling kind of downhearted, down in spirit, and he thought, I'm going to just open the Bible randomly and see what I can find in there that will speak to me. So he opens it up and he reads, Judas went and hanged himself. Oh, he said, that's quite an alarming word. So he said, I'll try it again. And he opened the scriptures randomly and it said, go and do thou likewise. You know, we can't just use any scripture at any time and apply it to ourselves and expect it to be helpful. It could be harmful to us if we don't rightly distinguish whether this is the word for my ailment of heart or not. We got to use the medicine rightly. So I'd like to talk with you about rightly dividing the Word of God between two medicines. We can look at the whole of Scriptures and divide it into two different parts. What are those two medicines? Well, the first one is the law. See, it says law. I don't think you can see that far, but this bottle says the law. And then the other one is the gospel. This says gospel if you can't read it. So you got the law and the gospel. We got to rightly distinguish which medicine we need in which particular case. Now let's take a look at the law here. The law are God's commandments from the Scriptures, His righteous commands, the things we're to do, the things we must do. Shows you what you're to do for God. And is this a good medicine? It is a good, powerful, thunderous medicine to us from Mount Sinai through Moses. It's important. It shows us the right way to go, but it also, most especially, its chief purpose is to show us that we are sinners, to break us, to strike us down, to strike down our pride so that we repent and seek a Savior. That's the purpose of the law. Now, how about the gospel? The gospel shows not what you're to do, but what God has already done for you in Jesus Christ. To send Jesus to die for your sins, to give you eternal life as a free gift by sheer grace. To pour out God's superabundant kindness upon you, His salvation in Jesus Christ, and to assure you He'll never leave you nor forsake you and such things. So the law shows us our sin. The gospel shows us our Savior. But these are two different medicines in the Word of God, in the bag of medicines of the great physician. And we got to know and distinguish between these two. They have two very different purposes. And guess what? They're for two very different people. Different ailments of hearts. We don't want to confuse these things. What should the law, who should the law be preached to? To proud sinners. To those who are self-righteous. To those who think they can be their own savior. The law needs to be poured down into them until it breaks them. It strikes them down. It kills their pride so that they no longer think they can save themselves and they seek a Savior. Then the gospel, who's that to be preached to? To broken sinners. Those who've been broken by the law, that they would hear that they have a Savior. It's Jesus Christ who died for them and rose again that they might have the free gift of eternal life by faith in His name. And so two very different medicines. Amen? Can you misapply these things? The devil likes to do it. We misdo it sometimes where we need the law and we take the gospel, or we need the gospel and we get the law. People mess these things up all the time. So let's rightly distinguish between these two things. This is to be preached to whom? The law to hardened, proud sinners, self-righteous. Who we preach the gospel to? To broken sinners, to those who have come to repentance, that they might be built up and brought to life in Christ. Now, let's see how this plays out in a scripture. We'll look at several today, but this one will be the main bulk of it. Now, two times in scripture is this question asked. Only twice. What must I do to be saved? In the first case, the guy says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The second, what must I do to be saved? Same question, right? Now, two different answers are given in scripture in terms of how should I be saved. Why two different ones? Is there a contradiction in the scriptures? Well, no. We got to distinguish between the law and the gospel. Let me explain. Let's go through it. Start here with me in Mark 10. We start in verse 17. And as Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone. You know the commandments. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he said to him, Teacher, all these I've observed from my youth. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, You lack one thing. Go and sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. At this, that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let me ask you a question. So, what must I do to be saved is the question, right? What was Jesus' answer in this case? Keep the law. Now, does that sound strange to you? Aren't we saved? Are we saved by the law? Are we saved by our good deeds according to the law? No. Then why does Jesus give this man the law when he's asking how to be saved? Why? You tell me. It depends who you're talking to. What was this man's heart? Was it broken or proud? He was proud. He was self-righteous. He thought he could be his own savior. How do we know that that's the case? Well, look at how Jesus takes care of this man. First thing Jesus says to him is, Why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone. In other words, why do you think man can be good before God? Of course, Jesus is good because he is God, right? But he's checking out this guy. First of all, he's saying, why do you think man can be right and good before God? Only God's good. In other words, all men are evil. So what's that do? The first thing he's trying to do in breaking down this man's pride is to show the law says all men are evil. And the man, did that take with him? Not yet. And he wasn't broken yet. So what does Jesus do? He gives him more law. He says, keep the commandments. Brings the Ten Commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. A heavy dose more of the law. Drinking this bottle, the good physician gives him to break him. And what happens? Does the man get broken? No. Oh, the law, the Ten Commandments, Jesus? Oh, all these I've kept from my youth. I do great with that. I've been perfect. I've kept all these things. He's smugly thinking to himself. Is he broken yet? No. So what does Jesus need to give him? Gospel or law? More law. So what does he say to him? Jesus looks into his heart and he sees, since he's God and he can see, he sees this man has a love for money. And that is grabbing him. That's his idol. So what does he say? He says to him, go. Sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. And what happens at that point to this man? It says, at that saying, at that giving of the dose of the law, his countenance fell. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So his countenance fell. What's that mean? His bright, glowing, happy, self-prideful face instantly took on a dark visage. Happiness went to despair. Horror gripped him. Pain of heart. And he was broken, right? And the man, it says, went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Did the law finally take effect with this man? I'll tell you something. That is the effect of the law. To preach the commandments and to keep driving them home and keep guzzling that into the sick person's throat if he's proud is eventually going to break him. And a man had, for the first time in his life, to admit that he was a sinner and in need of a Savior. Amen? You get it? Now, the strange thing was, is this man went away sorrowful, but for the first time in his life, he was closer to salvation than he'd ever been in all of his history because he admitted he was a sinner in need of a Savior, and the Savior himself stood before him. Wow, think about that. The law has to first break down before the gospel can save. Jeremiah 23, God says, Is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? And see now that I, even I, am he. There's no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Now, if Jesus is the good physician, he needs to kill before he makes alive. He needs the wound before he can heal. Let's say, for example, in our hearts, there is the wound of the devil. Terrible sin, but there's a scab over the wound. Now, if you're a good physician and there's a scab on an infected wound, do you just pour on good medicine and expect it to work? What do you got to do? You can't do that. It won't get in. You got to first take your scalpel, a knife, and lance the wound. Make it hurt. Make it bleed with this one, the law, until it's open again. The wound is exposed again. And it's very painful and hurtful. But that has to happen before then the gospel medicine can get in, into the bloodstream, into the heart, and heal a person. So the law has to come first, then the gospel. As Paul said in Romans 3, the law brings to us the knowledge of our sins. Romans 4, the law brings wrath. Romans 7, the law cannot save. And Romans 7 again, the law shows our sin to be sinful beyond measure. Now let me ask you a question. Do you need the law today? Are you proud? Are you self-righteous? Do you think you can be your own savior? I don't think you do, but if you did, let's try it. Let me give you some law. Ready? Pour this down on you. Let's try the Ten Commandments. Anybody ever lied out there? If you've never lied, sorry, if you lied, raise your hand. Oh, okay. So if you haven't raised your hand, you're really condemned, by the way. You have. Uh-oh. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever looked at a woman lustfully if you're a man, or at a man if you're a woman? Well, don't raise your hand. I will assume you have done that. All right? Have you ever stolen anything in your life? That makes you a thief. You're a liar. You're a thief. You're an adulterer. How do you feel? Is your countenance starting to fall? Your bright, beaming face starting to go, become sorrowful, and you're going to go away sorrowful? That's the right effect of the law, the preaching of the commandments, to show you that you're a sinner, that you might call out in need for a Savior. That's the purpose of the law. Powerful importance. And that's what Jesus gives to this man because of his heart. Now let's look at the other situation in the Bible. The same question, the same word is asked, what must I do to be saved? Totally different answer. Totally different answer. Let's look at it here in Acts chapter 16 and why it's a different answer. We read that this is Paul and Silas. They're in prison, remember? They are preaching Jesus. They're thrown into prison. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains fell off. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, for we're all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household." So, totally different answer, right? Same question. One was asked to Jesus, one to Paul. Totally different answers. Why? One the law, one is the gospel. Why the difference? Well, what was the state of the heart of the man who came to Jesus? Proud, self-righteous, I can save myself. What was the state of this man, the jailer? In dread, fear, already broken by the law, and trembling. And what was he afraid at, do you think, this jailer? Do you think this jailer was afraid of the earthquake? No, that was already passed. Was he afraid of the Romans? Well, they would kill him if he let the prisoners escape. That might be a little fear. But that wasn't his real fear. How do I know? Look at his actions. Look at his words. What did he do? He fell down before Paul and Silas. Listen, he's been hearing them sing about Jesus, judgment to come, wrath to come, salvation only in him all night long. Then there's this rumbling. The ceiling falls in. The walls cave. He was probably knocked unconscious because a stone hit him, I'm guessing, because it says he woke up, called for lights, and then rushed in. And he falls before Paul and says, "What must I do to be saved?" So you tell me, what was his fear? He wasn't asking about Romans or about an earthquake. He wanted to know about God because he was afraid of God. He was afraid of his judgment, of the wrath to come, of how to escape it. That was his fear. Now, to such a person, to such a heart, do you give the law? Paul didn't give one drop of law. You have no need for law. The man's broken and come to repentance already. What he needs is only this. He gave him no law, no commandment, no do this, no do that, no give everything to the poor, but only the sweet message of the word and the tender gospel of Jesus Christ and the assurance, believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household. And the man believed. And what was the result of that? It says, he rejoiced that he believed in God. The result of the gospel is joy. So what was the first result of the law with the rich man? He went away sorrowful and despair, for he had great possessions. The result of the gospel in your heart, this medicine, super unending joy. And he's brought to life and salvation through the sheer grace of God. So you got to lance the wound first with the law, and then the gospel heals it. Amen? So there's two medicines. They're both holy. These are both good, but they're for two different ailments. This is for the proud sinner, the law. The gospel is for the broken sinner, to save and to heal. You need the law first and then the gospel. But these are both beautiful. Let me ask you a question. Do you need the gospel today? Are you broken? Are you feeling weak? Are you weary? Are you anxious? Are you afraid? Are you in dread of the Lord? In fear of his judgment, then I pour into you the gospel of grace, the medicine that Jesus died for you, that there's no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus, that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. And if I go on with this, how do you start to feel? Joyful, right? How does your face become? It brightens up if I just keep going. Jesus says, because I live, you shall live also. Eternal life. How do you feel? Joy is welling up inside of you. I'm pouring into you the medicine of the gospel. That's what it does. Do you see how this opens up all of Scripture to you? Things that previously, to us, seemed contradictory and hard to make sense of, now make perfect sense. Here, you want a quiz? Are you ready for a quiz? I'm going to put you on the spot here. Here's your quiz. Did Jesus come to bring peace or a sword? Yes. Because he says in Matthew 10, don't think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And then in John 14, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Which one is true? Both are. But one is the law to hard hearts, beware, because I've come to break down and to divide families by the preaching of the truth. But then the gospel to those who are broken, saying, don't be afraid. I give you a peace, believe me, that will pass all understanding in my forgiveness and salvation. Okay, so you passed question number one. You want to try question number two? No? Should we fear God or not? Well, let's take a look. Jesus says in Luke 12, I tell you, my friends, don't fear those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. I'll warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. But then the very next line, Jesus says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. So, which one is it? Should we fear God or not fear God? It depends where your heart is. If you don't fear him, and you're living in sin and playing around with it, well, you better fear the Lord, because he has a sword by which he can kill, destroy, and throw you into hell. But if you have been broken by that word, you have nothing to fear. You've come under my wings for refuge. Don't fear. I'll not harm you. Why, I even know all the hairs on your head. You see how the gospel and the law, you can see, makes sense of these scriptures. Here's another one. Past two questions. Here's number three. Is God quick to anger or slow to anger? Well, Vivian got it both. You've passed. Psalm 2 says, you know, the kings of the earth are coming against God and against his anointed. And God says, serve the Lord with fear, with trembling kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. God's quick to anger. But in Numbers 14, it says the Lord's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. What is it? Is God quick to anger or slow to anger? Well, it depends on your heart. Depends the state of your heart. If you're attacking him, God says, you better beware. My anger can flare up in a moment. Repent now. But then if you are already cringing before the Lord, he says, don't worry. This is the gospel. He says, don't worry, because I am so super patient, you won't believe it. I am amazing in patience. You've come under my wings for refuge. Be at peace. My wrath is very slow. And one more here. How about this one? Number 4. In Matthew 10, you see some of Jesus' harshest words in Scripture. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Does that sound like God? Jesus is very angry there? Very harsh. But you know what? Just a couple of verses later, we read this. Come to me, all you who are lowly, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. So, which is it? Is he angry or is he come unto me? Well, guess what? It's both. Because the first one was spoken because it says in Scripture in verse 20 that he upbraided or scolded the towns because they refused to repent when he preached them. They needed what? The law, the medicine of the law, to break them more, that they might be saved. But to those who are broken by those words, guess what? Come unto me. The sweetest, refreshing words of Scripture. Come unto me. I'm so lowly, humble, and gentle. You come to me, I'll not harm you, and I will lift you up in life and give you my salvation. Come to me and get rest, Jesus says. So, which of these two do you need today? You know, you got to search into your heart and see where you are. Which do you give to another? You got to search and see where their heart is. Are they proud sinners? Self-righteous, think they can save themselves? Or are they broken sinners, fearful, in need of being built up in the gospel? You don't know which medicine. The devil mixes these all around. He gives the gospel to those who need the law and the law to those who need the gospel. But we rightly discern these, and we are going to be blessed and strong. And I'm on the last part here, so listen up, okay? I have really wrestled with the fear of the Lord, in my life. I remember a couple of years ago, I woke up and I was cringing before the Lord. You know, I hadn't done anything wrong. I had repented all my sins. I was following Jesus and everything, but I just felt guilty and I felt in dread and I even shook before the Lord. I was just so in dread of him. And I thought on this, which medicine do I need? The law or the gospel? Which did I need? You tell me. I needed at that point the gospel. So you know what I did? I started drinking it. Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, poured unto me these scriptures and reminded me in my heart, God so loved the world, Greg. God so loved you that God gave his only son, Jesus, that you believing in him should not perish but have eternal life. And I went, you know how I felt? I didn't feel any better. So what did I do? Well, if you take the gospel and you don't get joy as a broken sinner, you know what it says in the bottle here in the back? It says, take as often as directed, as long as symptoms appear. So the Holy Spirit kept giving me this. Jesus, the physician, kept filling me with these things. And then I went to another. Romans 8, there's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. Felt a little better. And the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. I felt better and stronger. Then I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, more and more. Ephesians 1, in him there is... we have salvation and the forgiveness of our trespasses through his blood. Good. And I kept drinking these. Be strong and of good courage. I'm with you wherever you go. And I kept drinking the word. And guess what? In 30 minutes or so, boom, I was made strong and courageous, reconciled, peaceful with the Lord again. So what I'm saying is, Jesus had to give the law several times to this guy before it broke him. If you need the gospel and it doesn't take effect, keep taking it. The medicine until it takes effect, for it cannot but take effect. Its result is joy, and that also eternal life. So let's conclude with this. There's two medicines in Scripture, the law and the gospel. One's from Mount Sinai Gospel, a hospital. One is from Mount Calvary Hospital. You got to divide them rightly and distinguish between the two. And here is the gospel for you with which I end. Jesus, the great physician who loves you, drank the whole poison of the law for you, died for your sins, rose again from the dead to give you eternal life, and that as a free gift to be received by faith. Therefore, rejoice in him, for he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Today's message was from Pastor Greg Lucier at Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral.